And now,
great to be back.
Back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
Awesome.
And your host, Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests has an interesting topic, no two of which are alike. My next guest is the nephew of one of Hollywood's most astonishing silent screen actors, Jack Earle. We'll discuss the exceptional life of his uncle, Jake Ehrlich, a.k.a. Jack Earle. Dr. Andrew Ehrlich is a prominent clinical psychologist, an author, and a nationally known speaker. His newest book is titled The Long Shadows. It's a true life novel about the life of his beloved uncle, Jake Ehrlich, and it's an example of human resilience and transcendence in the face of adversity. Dr. Ehrlich received his master's and doctorate degrees from the California School of Professional Psychology. He also trained at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles, the California Institute of Technology, and the affiliated psychiatric and medical clinic at Alhambra Psychiatric Hospital. Dr. Ehrlich lives in Scottsdale with his wife and two children. Joining us from Arizona. Hi, Andrew. How are you today?
I'm great. Good to be here, Bill.
Well, thanks so much for being our guest. And you've written the most intriguing story, and long story, I might add, about your uncle, The Long Shadows, the story of Jake Ehrlich. So your uncle really led an extraordinary life. I mean, it's a testimony that truth is really greater than fiction. He became the world's tallest man, but he started out life as an underweight baby. He grew to be about 6 feet by the age of 10 years old. He was a Hollywood actor in the silent film era. He was at Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus. He was a star there. But in addition to all of those accomplishments, he was a painter. He was a dancer, a musician, a sculptor, and a poet. So let's start at the beginning, if we can. How does an underweight baby become the world's tallest man?
Well, my Uncle Jake had a normal childhood till he was six. He was born in Denver in 1906. By 1912, the family was living in El Paso, Texas. And my grandmother was said to say to her friends, you know, my middle boy, she had three kids, my middle boy, that was Jake, seems to grow an inch from the time he goes to sleep to when he wakes up in the morning. And my grandfather was concerned he's having to buy Jake a new pair of shoes every 2 weeks.
Wow.
Until he has to buy him the largest shoes in town and then have his shoes custom made. Now, his foot would eventually grow to a size 26 and a half. So by point of perspective, Shaquille O'Neal wears a 22. But he, actually, Jake had a tumor on the pituitary. It's called acromegalic gigantism. A very rare condition, affects about 3 to 4 out of every million souls. But when it occurs before puberty, as it did with Jake, it's even more rare. And it's fatal if it's not treated. But in those days, they didn't have treatments for it.
No, in the early 20th century, medical help wasn't as good as it is today, even, and so that must have been tough. So you're a clinical psychologist. Talk about his early years. How did Jake's height impact his psyche?
Well, as you said, you know, he had such dramatic height at such an early age that the other children were often very cruel to him. They'd play tricks on him. They even threw rocks at him. So he got very depressed. Because, you know, they took him from doctor to doctor, but nobody knew to even name this condition, let alone stop its growth. So as he felt helpless and hopeless to do anything, he got very, very depressed. So he's taken back alleys to avoid people. So he got very, very down.
Oh, that's a shame. Now, he sort of alternated between being a very, very shy young boy and sort of being thrust into the limelight. How did he handle those two extremes?
Well, what had happened, how he got discovered for pictures, to answer your question in a roundabout way, Bill, my granddad took him to California for a change of scenery in 1920. So 16-year-old Jake, they're walking around, downtown Santa Monica, and a couple of talent scouts from Silent Pictures discover him and put him in Silent Pictures. So here's this boy who can't stand being in public, takes back alleys. He's in front of movie cameras, and I think that at first he was really intimidated by it. Actually, there's a story on his first day walking to the studios. They were at Sunset and Vine, Century Comedies, and there in Hollywood, and a crowd of people started following him, and Jake started to run away and hide find an alley to hide in. My granddad grabbed him by the arm and told him, you got to get used to this attention. You might as well make your stand here as anywhere. And I think that push from my grandfather, plus the friends that he started to make in Silent Pictures, really started to help him.
How big did Jake actually grow to be?
He grew to be 8 feet, 6.5 inches tall. Now, if your listeners go on the internet, they'll find some references that say that he was 7'8", and they'll find some references that say that he was 9 feet. But most of the references I found and the people I interviewed that actually knew him said that he was 8.5 feet tall. Now, that includes The Undertaker, who was the last one to see him on this planet, who put him into the specially made 9-foot coffin that he was buried in.
My guest is Dr. Andrew Ehrlich, author of the book, The Long Shadows, The Story of Jake Ehrlich, who is his uncle, incidentally enough. So how did he get the stage name Jack Earl when he moved into Hollywood? Because I think this is also a fundamental part of the story.
He was, you know, in those days, you got to figure this was after World War II. And there are people who had European names. Ehrlich is my uncle, my family, they were Polish Jews, but lived near the border of Germany. We had an Ehrlich. Ehrlich is a German word. It's a German word for honest. And there was a lot of anti-German sentiment in the country. So people who had European names, especially German names, after World War One, were pushed to change them so that everyday, you know, people could identify more with them.
All right. Now, he's in the movies, he's doing the silent films long before there were talkies. What ended his movie career?
He was filming his 49th picture, and he was on what would they call the funny car. These were these specially made automobiles they used in silent pictures. He's doing one of his own stunts, and he fell 14 feet from one of these cars to the pavement, and a piece of wood broke off a camera boom attached to the same contraption, comes down, smacks him in the back of the head. When he wakes up in the hospital, he's got fractured nose and blurred vision. The doctor said not to worry about the blurred vision, that it would correct itself, that he had what they call Klieg eyes. Now, Klieg lights were these powerful lights he used on movie sets that often caused eye problems. Well, 3 days later, Jake went totally blind, and they didn't know what was going on. The doctors couldn't figure it out. Well, it was the tumor on the pituitary that was causing the growth, his profound growth that had grown to the point that it was pressing on his optic nerve, robbing him of his vision. So when they realized that it was a brain tumor, they started trying all kind of treatments, and then they tried a new therapy in those days, X-rays. They just bombarded his head with these X-rays. The tumor shrunk, and his vision came back, and paradoxically, he stopped growing. Because if he hadn't, Bill, he would have died like most of the others who suffered from this condition did.
Wow. My guest is Andrew Ehrlich, author of the book The Long Shadows, about his uncle, Jake Ehrlich. So let's talk, if we can, a little bit about his transition from the movies into the circus, because he went on to be a star at Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus.
So he goes home to El Paso to recuperate. And it's the springtime, and one of the things that happens in El Paso in the spring was a circus would come to town, and that was really a big deal, because in those days, there were basically two forms of entertainment at most places outside of big cities. That was the county fair and the circus. So some friends of his had seen the circus parade, and in the circus parade, they saw the professional giant, a fellow by the name of Big Jim Tarver, who the circus billed as the world's tallest man. Well, these boys were aghast because they said, man, our buddy's taller than that guy is. But they knew they couldn't go to Jake directly because he was a sensitive soul and he wouldn't have anything to do with embarrassing anybody. So they unbeknownst to Jake, they bring him to the circus, they go into the sideshow tent, and one of the most embarrassing moments in circus history took place. Their friend, Jack Earl, is a foot taller than Big Jim Tarver. So Jake runs out of there, didn't want to embarrass the guy, but the next day an agent from Ringling Brothers comes and offers Jake a contract to travel with Ringling Brothers. And he stayed with Ringling Brothers as the billed as the world's tallest man from 1926 to 1940.
Now, my guest is Andrew Ehrlich. So, Andrew, this is a fascinating story. How did you first learn of your uncle's story, and so what drew you to it?
Well, you know, in my home, my uncle was a world-class artist, and I say that in all truth. If you, there's an exhibit of his art going on right now at the El Paso Museum of Art. He was a sculptor and a painter. His sculptures, his paintings, photos of his life in the circus were on the walls of my parents' home. People would come over, we'd pull out the old World Book or a National Geographic and open it up, and they'd say, you know, Jake Ehrlich 8.5 feet tall, world's tallest man. So it was always part of the history of my family. My dad died about 11 years ago. At that point, I started thinking, this story needs to be told. It needs to be passed on to other people and other people who could benefit from hearing it.
All right. My guest is Andrew Ehrlich. Andrew, you mentioned earlier a little bit that Jake met this other giant at the circus, and he obviously met many of the giants of that era traveling in the circus. Give us some flavor, some background of what it was like as a sideshow performer in those days.
Well, you know, the sideshow was, when you go to the circus, you'd go into, it was under the big top, you know, but when you walk towards the big top, that path that you walked on that would lead to the main circus tent was called the Midway. Now, on one side, there was a tent about 80 by 120, and that's where the sideshow was situated. And the inside that tent were all of these different acts, you know. And if you look in the book that people, you know, folks can find it on Amazon or at www.thelongshadowsbook.com, that you'll see a lot of classic photos from the circus, but you see these circus show they called them freaks in those days, and it wasn't a pejorative term. The people that performed in the sideshow were proud of that moniker because they felt they were troopers earning a living. Anyway, a lot of these people would have been shut-ins, wouldn't have had a way to earn a living if it wasn't for the sideshow. But the sideshow was a big source of money, Bill, for the circus. People would pay an additional quarter to go into the sideshow tent. And the biggest, most respected of all the sideshows was that of Ringling Brothers that Jake performed in. Now, these folks traveled around the country for most of the year in the train. So you can imagine, Jake was with Ringling Brothers from 26 to 40. All the things that he saw in rural America traveling, and a lot of his paintings really capture that flavor of what was going on behind the scenes in the circus and in the country.
We're talking about the book, The Long Shadows, the story of Jake Ehrlich, written by his nephew, Andrew Ehrlich. So, Andrew, he's had this phenomenal life. He's been in the circus, as you said, 14 years with Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey. How did he transition into what we would call normal life?
In 1940, Jake really had had, you know, before 40, he had testified in a landmark libel suit that was brought against the American Medical Association, where another giant was suing Time Magazine. And this is, by the way, I tell about this in the book. But after that, I think his perspective started to change about the circus. And he, besides the fact that he made a lot of friends and he really started doing his art in the circus, there were lonely hours of sitting on the sideshow platform. Cool kids would kick him in the shins to make sure he wasn't standing on stilts. You can imagine, it's tough enough for anybody to live that kind of a life on a train, you know, having to use outhouses when the train wasn't moving, and just a very, very difficult life. He decided to leave the circus, and a friend of his, who you may recall from the name Art Linkletter, who was a radio host before he was a TV personality, he knew Jake from radio days where Jake would sing on the radio, play the piano and the saxophone, and Jake ran into him at the World's Fair in San Francisco, and he introduced Jake to the sponsor of his radio show. It was a wine company, and Jake became they offered him work in as a, first as a salesman and then doing PR, and that's what he did until he died.
My guest is Andrew Ehrlich. So, Andrew, you know, Jake had other talents. You've alluded to them before. His painting show that is now going on in El Paso, his performing for Art Linkletter in music and so forth. He's actually quite good as a sculptor, a painter, a musician. He did poetry and dancing. My question is, how would a man of your uncle's height and stature find a partner to be a dance partner with?
Well, it's really interesting. There was a woman in El Paso by the name of Karma Dean, and she was well-known locally. She was kind of an Isadora-esque figure, you know, and she wanted Jake to go on the road. She taught him to dance, and she wanted him, and she was a little bit of a woman, and she wanted Jake to go on the road and be her partner, her dance partner. And but in those days, Jake was still very young, and my grandparents were very conservative, and they really didn't want to have anything to do with it. But, I'll be telling that story and many more at the book signing I'm doing at Book Soup on Friday, October 5th at 7 o'clock. That's in West Hollywood for all the folks that want to come out and see more. I'll be showing some of Jake's movies and some of his art and some classic photos and telling stories.
Oh, that is great. My guest is Andrew Ehrlich. He's the author of the book, The Long Shadows, The Story of Jake Ehrlich. So, Andrew, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Long Shadows?
Well, first of all, I want them to really appreciate the fact that although life brings us often awful circumstances, that in the face of those awful circumstances, we can accept them and overcome them. Also, that human differences, although, you know, people are really comfortable with people that are just like them, that human differences are an essential part of nature, and I believe essential for our survival as a species, and that Jake showed that by embracing his difference and expressing it creatively, that he could really be resilient and overcome his liability and really turn it into an asset.
A very poignant message indeed. My guest has been Andrew Ehrlich, author of the book, The Long Shadows, The Story of Jake Ehrlich. Andrew, you've probably piqued the interest of many of my listeners. They may want to go see you at Book Soup in Los Angeles, or they may just want to buy your book. If they are interested, tell us again where they can find the book.
The book is available at the book's website, www.thelongshadowsbook.com, or it's available on Amazon, The Long Shadows, The Story of Jake Ehrlich, or it's available for e-readers, for Kindle, for Nook, also for iBooks. And it's also available at a new site called Libboo, LIBBOO.com.
All right, that is great. Andrew, it has been a delight. Thank you for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Bill, thank you so much. I appreciate it.